Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Claudia Monticelli with another episode of Multiple Voices. My Multiple Voices podcast, true to its name, includes different series. For example, we have the Voices of Love, where we discuss relationships, the voice of empowerment, the voice of laughter and play, the voice of pleasure, and the magical voice of archetypes and how they change the way we live. But we also have the voice of memory that includes everything from history to discussions of past life regression. There's also writing voices, where we interview both seasoned writers and authors who have just started getting their feet wet with writing, and we learn what can work for you as potential writers. Our series called Voice of the Spirit discusses different forms of spirituality and religion. And then Channeling Voices is a series that covers what happens when you channel, but is also extended to mediumship. Take a moment to review this podcast if you've enjoyed listening, and leave a hearty 5 stars. I'd appreciate it. Enjoy your listening. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with another guest. This is another episode. I'm here with Demi Wild. Demi, welcome to Multiple Voices.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to see you again. It's been a while.
See you again. Yeah. I met Demi and at his podcast, actually. Tell us the name of the podcast.
It's called The Cosmic Journey with Demi and Jay. I host it with my best friend, Jay Maceo.
Yeah. And we talked about all things occult. We talked about a lot of things. And initially, I had contacted him because what does he do? Demi, he's in his own words, okay? So he is a writer, producer, entrepreneur, and self-acclaimed sexual deviant, as well as a tarot reader and a spiritual, and spirituality is important in his life. So, and I thought to myself, how am I going to spin it this time? So I thought it would be great if he could talk to us about tarot, his experience with tarot, because I'm a reader as well. And it seems the tarot gives us the opportunity to talk about a lot of different things. What do you think, Demi?
Completely, yeah. I mean, I like to use it as kind of like a guide. It's kind of like therapy without being therapy in a way.
Yeah. And when did you pick that up and started using it as therapy?
Well, it's been kind of a long, arduous journey with it.
why arduous? What kind of cards do you have?
Here's the thing. I suffer from acute ADHD. So
acute.
Learning things, it takes me either a long time or it takes me like a day. Mm. And tarot has always been one of those things where it's always been in the back of my mind, like ever since I was like, you know, 13 years old and hanging out in Borders bookstore and reading occult books and stuff, like just hanging out.
Yeah.
But I've never really like been a reader per se. I've started, I believe, teaching myself because I had a reading done when I was about 20 from a friend of mine, and she read it in such a way that it made more sense for me to read that way. Cause I always thought like, you just read the book, you memorize everything that's in the book and then you just spew it out.
Well, what happened? Tell us about that reading. Give us an idea.
Yeah. So basically what happened was when she was reading me, she was reading the symbols on the card and so she was kind of applying those symbols to sort of a story that was telling. And it was like, exactly the story that was being told in my life at that time. And so I was like, I didn't even know you can read.
Fascinated.
Yeah. And so that kind of like started me on the new journey of reading. I think I probably had my first deck shortly thereafter.
Well, what do you remember the deck that you?
Oh yeah. Rider Waite.
I know. Yeah. I think the Rider Waite deck is the ruin of all tarot readers. I hate to say it.
Truly. Cause it's one of those things. It's like, I feel like tarot is a very personal type tool.
Sure.
And I use the word tool because it is a tool.
It's a divination tool.
Yeah. it tells us, you know, information about ourselves that we wouldn't otherwise. I mean, I feel like tarot doesn't tell us anything that we don't already know.
Yes.
But at the same time, also is, it's easier to put things into perspective that way if you mm-hmm. see it laid out in front of you, literally.
Right.
But when I picked up Rider-Waite, I was like, I don't get these cards because they're so old and like Renaissance-y and like just kind of like, I don't relate to this artwork, you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of like shelved it for a while. And then I think probably just like 2 years ago, I picked up a Thoth deck or a Thoth. Oh, Thoth.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And honestly,
give us an idea of what that deck is like, because many people may not know what it's like.
Right. Well Thoth is actually the deck made by Aleister Crowley, the famous occultist, back in like the 1800s. He actually died before it was completed. But he worked with this other woman artist who helped create the deck, and he used a lot of abstract colors and shapes and different types of imagery. He uses Kabbalah, he uses astrology, which is what I mostly use is astrology. So that one made more sense to me to use because I can understand at least the astrology aspect of it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I picked it up and I was like, these cards speak to me in a way that I've had not expected to hear. And when that happened, I just started learning a little bit more.
So this is recent. You said last year you got it?
Like 2 years. Yeah. Oh, 2 years ago.
Recent. That's really recent.
Pretty recent. Yeah.
Yeah. So typically you don't read for other people, just you do you? For friends?
I do. Uh-huh. I do. Yeah. I do on occasion. What I like to do is I like to use it. Number one, on the podcast, I use it for like kind of like my, I do an astrology section on the podcast that deals with like a little bit of like forecast going on for the week or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then at the very end, I'd use, I pull three cards just to kind of give like a send off, I guess.
To
like
crown the episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And so I use that for that, obviously. But then I do give readings to other people a lot of the times. And I also use it on like TikTok and stuff. So
give me an idea. Come on. I don't want you to take out the cards if you happen to have them nearby.
Oh, I do actually right here.
Yeah.
Here's your ring.
Okay, so now we have the deck. Show us. Well, for those of you who are watching the video, you can see the deck. Show us what it looks like.
I'll show you. Here's the Death card, for example. It's a very different type of card.
Okay, so what I'm looking at is a very modern looking deck. The artwork is surely modern. Of course, there is typical, there are bones, there's the skeleton with the Grim Reaper. I don't remember what it's called, that tool, that harvesting tool.
The scythe.
The scythe, right, the scythe. The scythe. Yeah, yeah.
When I was when I discovered this card, for example, number one, it has a scorpion over there. It has a fish. Mm-hmm. It has a serpent on it. So obviously, there's a lot of water energy here.
Yeah,
serpent is kind of like, you know, the nemesis of God in certain instances, but also like it gave Eve the knowledge.
If I'm not mistaken, the death card, isn't that a Scorpio card?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, so maybe that's why the Scorpio is there. Give us another. Show us another card so we can get a feel for it.
Sure. Well, there's the Hangman right there.
Okay, that's so the Hangman, they're very modern, very modern cards. These are light colors, blue, light, white.
And I love green. The colors. They're bright.
Yeah, yeah,
The shapes in the back also mean certain things as well.
Hold it up to your hand, against your hand, to see how large it is. Because typically they're very large, usually tarot. But this is not that tall as much as tarot decks usually are. They're wide cards, though. They're wide.
Yeah, yeah. When I first learned how to do these, they felt big in my hand. Yeah, and I was like, these are kind of big.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
There's
beautiful.
A Nine of Cups right here. This is one of my favorite cards.
The Nine of Cups. Well, I don't see Knight the cup. Cups. No, there's the Knight. The Knight. I was looking for all the cups. Well, look at the wings. Beautiful. This is a beautiful card. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I get this one a lot, like in my own readings for myself.
Uh-huh.
But anyways, yeah, like I love my other favorite thing is like art. So like when I was studying journalism in college, one of my favorite projects that I would do is I would actually cover the art exhibits on mm-hmm. campus.
Right.
And so when I love artwork in any form. One of my favorite artists is Dali. You know, I love bright colors. I love surreal. I love abstract. I love things that are just going to make you like aesthetically different, you know?
Yeah.
And these to me were a completely different card from what I've seen from Rider Waite.
I'll make you laugh.
Yeah.
I was in Amsterdam years ago and I was by myself. I was, you know, going around. I Salvador Dali is one of my favorite. And it just so happened that my hotel was, you know, a couple of blocks from the Salvador Dali Museum.
Oh, wow.
And that day I had been in the center of town and I was, you know, getting to be 8 in the evening and I was so hungry. I was starving. So I go into a place and I said, you know, I really like to get something to eat. And he says to me, well, we don't serve food. And I was looking and there was food there. And I said, well, what's this? He says, well, they're filled with marijuana, different forms and things like that. Well, I don't care. I said, I just need something to eat. I'm just hungry, right? So he says, here's the menu. Gives me the menu. And you know, it's like being in a candy store. Which one do you choose, right? And I said, look, what do you suggest? He said, well, he looks me up and down and he says, what about number 7? And so he brings me a muffin. And I said, but I need like a cup of coffee or a glass of milk or whiskey, something to, you know, throw it down. And he gives me a drink and he says to me, do you know where your hotel is? Of course I know where my hotel is. I said, okay. So he gives me this stuff. I sit down and I was just enjoying myself. Took my book out. I was eating, drinking, an hour and a half later after I go and I leave and I was going back home to my hotel. I couldn't find the damn hotel. I was walking and walking. It was freezing. So all I could remember was Salvador Dali. Where's Salvador Dali? Oh, I couldn't believe it. And when he said, do you know where your hotel is? And I said, come on. Please.
How much cheese do you think that you consumed between the beverage and the muffin?
I don't know. But
edibles affect. Edibles affect you way differently than actually smoking marijuana.
Yeah.
I've actually hallucinated on edibles at one point.
I mean, really, I wasn't aware that it was that potent. I was just hungry, really. You know, I could have eaten a steak, but they had muffins. You know.
They've got muffins.
Too bad the museum was closed at that time. I would love to see those bendable clocks.
All right. Totally. Yeah.
All right. So now let's get back to the tarot. That is a surprisingly modern looking deck. I didn't expect it. I expected
You've never used it before?
No, I've never used it before. I'm going to look that up.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It looks like it's beautiful.
These colors on the fortune card.
The fortune, wheel of fortune. Yeah.
Wheel of fortune.
So let's imagine that you're on one of your episodes, right? Mm-hmm. And the episode, we can give it a title. Do you usually start like that, Demi? You have a theme that you would want to cover in an episode? How do you organize your episodes?
So for the whole episode, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, before you start the show, do you have an idea of where you want to go and end up?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So we have a basic structure that we use. We just kind of like plug in the new things for the week. Mm-hmm. So basically we start talking about our week and like how we've been, what we've been doing. Mm-hmm. And then we go into like a news section. So like when we do the news, I start with the astrology forecast. So it's kind of like the weather forecast, you know, mm-hmm. in a news thing. And so I start with the astrology forecast and I have like a certain message that comes through when I'm writing them out. And I'll do that in the very beginning, the channeled message of the week. Yeah. And then I'll do the, I'll write out previously or the night before, or like couple nights before the actual forecast for the week. I'll go through my my week and from whatever I pull up from
you
from
must my... be really good as an astrologer.
I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm better at astrology than I am with tarot, but I'm kind of like getting better at both.
Are you able to bring the astrology into the tarot card readings?
Oh, they bring themselves.
All right. Well, I need a demonstration. They bring themselves. I do work with astrology. Astrology gives me a headache, I have to admit, but I do it differently. Would you mind giving us an idea of how you send off your episode with three tarot cards? And maybe I can understand, I can glean how you put the astrology in there.
Start with the astrology. So basically I'm doing like the whole week first.
All right. So
like,
you give a reading.
Aspects, right. Things like that. And then at the very end, I'll pull the three cards.
Uh-huh.
And then what's really funny was, I believe last week. So I pulled three cards. One was the Queen of Wands, mm-hmm. The King of Wands, and the Queen of Discs or Pentacles.
Mm-hmm.
So King, Queen, Queen.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, it was, I think my channel message of the week was like Divine Alchemy, or like the New Alchemy, basically like kind of like the whole kind of concept for the week was kind of like taking old, converting it into something new and transforming it into something more beneficial to ourselves and us as a whole. And
of course, the magician came up.
No.
Oh.
So the queen of wands. So action, the initial action of things. Mm-hmm. King of Wands as well. And then Queen of Pentacles, which is kind of like that nurturing the ground. Finally, when I pulled, I have another oracle deck that I use for like the final card.
Yeah. And what deck is
the
that?
The last card that I, it's called the Cosmic Journey Oracle. I have them right here.
Ooh, you didn't design that.
My message
that,
of the week
you?
Was the new alchemy, and the card that I pulled was the alchemical artist. That one right there. So I was like, wow. Like I said, they make themselves.
In. Yeah, yeah.
They
yeah.
make themselves very apparent very when they want to be known.
Very interesting. So let's say that you have a friend come to you and they're having a hard time. They can't stand their job anymore. They've had it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were due for a promotion or something, or a new position that would be more suitable for their skills, you know, for their gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're torn between wanting to leave and find another place, or sticking it out because, I don't know, they just bought a house or something. They have a commitment, an economic commitment.
It sounds like you're talking about my life right now. My job.
Well, so what would you do? What kind of a spread would you do for them? Would you start with, say, one card, then add another, or you do, you know, typically have some kind of a schematic drawing for a spread? How would you work?
I don't necessarily have a schematic drawing or anything. I just mostly pull three cards.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like my basic kind of thing. Like, what's the overall energy? That can come up as either past, present, future.
Yeah.
It can come up as kind of like overall theme, or I won't really know until the cards get out there. But if I ever need clarification on cards, that's when I pull
another
one for that specific card. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how does this practice, this divination, you know, link into the notion of spirituality or spiritualism? What, is there a link? Because, the people who are from the Catholic religion or even Muslims, I mean, many have come to me for readings, but then they've realized that their religion forbids any form of divination tools.
It's dogmatic, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then they shy away from that. So in this case, how would you say that it links in or it brings you toward a different view?
Well, see, I've always been the type of person that I always try to find the least traveled path. You know what I mean?
And yeah. So yes,
I grew up Baptist Christian.
Uh-huh.
My grandma's sang in the church choir.
Ooh.
All kinds of stuff. So I knew from a very young age when I heard for the first time, because I'm gay myself. Uh-huh. And I heard our preacher one day just going off about homosexuality and how it's bad and it's wrong and blah, blah, blah. And even at this point, I didn't know what gay was.
Yeah, sure.
But I knew that whatever was being spoken about by this leader,
there was something off.
Is negative. And yeah. From my mind, there just seemed to be a very different type of, there's like two different gods that, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Either
yeah.
God's either all loving and all knowing,
yeah.
Or God is vengeful and wrathful.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's this dichotomy, and I'm like, there can't be both, you know. Yeah. So I went on my own way when I was mm-hmm. young,
yeah.
And I started, you know, discovering occult stuff.
How old was this about?
Oh, very young. I was probably I started maybe like 11.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I was hanging out in bookstores mostly.
Well, you know, still. Still,
yeah, what kind I was very young.
Under what section did you look? Was there a cult?
Metaphysical.
Yeah, metaphysical. Yeah. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was always like just thumbing through things mm-hmm. and, you know, always trying to find spell books to kind of like.
Spells, yeah.
You know, just, you know, teenage.
Teenage stuff, you know yeah. I
mean? Yeah, but that in turn led me down this other path of, well, you know, okay, here's the other thing is I went through a lot of like, you know, I went through a dark depression when I was younger.
Even about that age or after?
Around 16.
Okay,
typical age.
Tip of the age.
And then I had a very difficult time coming into my own. I was bullied a lot. Mm-hmm. I got into drugs when I was very young. Mm-hmm. I always had this, and I was having a lot of sex to avoid certain mm-hmm. things in my life. So I had a lot of issues like throughout mm-hmm. my teens to my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I came, I would say probably like, you know, 28, you know, yeah. Return of Saturn era.
Yeah.
when I start, things started kind of like, you know, do or die situations where I'm like, I need to figure this out with my life.
Yeah. Give me an example if you don't mind sharing.
Well, okay, I'll just tell you exactly what happened in 2016.
Oh.
So
2016, so it's recent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, fairly recent.
Yeah, five years ago.
Uh-huh.
Me and my ex-boyfriend, we mm-hmm. split up after 5 years together.
Mm-hmm.
I was leaving the city that I had been living at for, you know, 6 years in Seattle.
Oh, dear.
My grandmother, who was a very important part of my life, passed away from cancer that year.
Oh, dear.
I lost serious friends that I've had for a very long time. Dear. I was homeless for like a month.
Oh my God.
It was just a very rough year.
Yeah.
And overall it was kind of like, you know, I don't know where to go.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Literally.
And so mm-hmm. literally, and you know, pulled myself up from my bootstraps. I got a job. I didn't have a job at the time for like months, but I got this job. So thankful that I did. And I got my own apartment after that. I mm-hmm. just, you know, things started turning around for me.
But
I still had a lot of like emotional residual mm-hmm. trauma baggage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's kind of like where I leaned more into like, you know, my occult knowledge that I already kind of like accumulated. The astrology was definitely a huge impact on this. You know, it gave me a sort of guidance, you mm-hmm. know, it gave me some sort yeah. of guidance when I didn't have any.
Yeah. When you say I was, you know, I, for many, many years, I was an interpreter. So it's a habit for me mm-hmm. to listen to people. And I jump ahead to try to know where they're going because I work in simultaneous interpreting, you know? And so mm-hmm. when you were saying, so that's when I turned to, and I was thinking the next word was going to be spirituality. Instead, you said the occult. Now, mm-hmm. give us a definition, because the occult for many people has a negative connotation, and it's a loaded term. So what was that for you?
For me, it's just esoteric knowledge. It's
esoteric,
everything
yeah,
that is
yeah.
deemed taboo by religion, if
okay.
you will. So it could be anything. It could be something sure. mundane, you know.
Yeah, like tarot reading.
Mm-hmm. Like tarot reading, yeah. Or, you know, just something mundane. I can't even think of an example right now, but
yeah.
There's many things that are
deemed
occult.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Certain books are deemed occult. Like mm-hmm. Harry Potter, for example, is deemed occult.
Yes. Okay. All right. We'll just let anything, that pass.
It's just anything alternative, you know.
Alternative, yeah.
But so, therein, yes, is a certain level of spirituality.
That's where that you well. Turn to for yes. guidance or help, right? Did it
yeah.
work?
Yeah. I believe so.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Not immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
Not immediately, because I always feel like occult knowledge or esoteric knowledge or, you know, divination, spiritual things kind of leave you with more questions a lot of the time.
Well, no. That's definitely. And,
yeah.
you know, coming from a perspective of a researcher, doubt is a good thing. It's, totally. You know, there yeah. is that moon card in the deck or the high mm-hmm. priestess card, and they are cards that just don't talk. They hide things yeah. from us and from everyone. So there are, I know for a fact that there are things we are not meant to know. And that's the difficulty when you're working as a diviner, you know, when you read for people, right. you just can't go there. In your case, was there something that worked more for you than other things, apart from all of the deviance, the sex, or anything that came your way, but in the occult area?
Well, honestly, I gravitated more towards astrology than mm-hmm. anything in the very beginning. So I've been doing that for probably, you know, longer than that, even. I'd say like 7-8 years.
It's because the astrology, I think astrology comes probably as a technical, more of a technical, there's less sure. interpretation than I guess something yeah. like the tarot or any kind, you know, crystals, reading crystals. It's yeah. interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And the interpreter, the astrologer's MO is basically to interpret the stars. So basically, mm-hmm. like,
yeah.
it's almost exactly the same thing where you're interpreting yeah. symbols or
yeah, you're
you
right,
know,
you're right,
what
you're
have
right.
you, but
I'll give
you're,
you that.
You're interpreting kind of like what these positions mean mm-hmm. in either a broad sense or an individual sense, whatever the case may be. But yeah, I always just like when I didn't know what to do, I'm like, well, let's turn to the stars. Let's
yeah,
figure
let's
out
look at the stars.
What they say first, because I feel like I trust them more than I trust any human, you know?
I about 6 months ago, I spent so much money on the huge binoculars because I wanted to read, to see the stars. Mm-hmm. I live in Rome. You can't see any stars. There's two lights of the city. You have to go way up high. So all I could do is
see
my neighbors.
I live in LA. I saw yeah. Orion's Belt last night. That's the only yeah. three stars yeah. I could see.
I know. You have to get somewhere. I have to find a place. So now we're into the astrology, and that's still at the level of personal interest, right?
Yeah.
Astrology has use in for many, just like a reading, it does.
Right.
Have you, since that one reading, that tarot reading that you had in the beginning that you mentioned, have you ever gone back for another reading to someone?
For my friend? No, not specifically from her.
Mm-hmm.
But that was kind of like the catalyst for like this mm-hmm. kind of newfound interest in stuff that I already kind of like knew
yeah.
about, but like never really spent the time,
yeah.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
But as for astrology, I've had astrology readings before, but I had a very specific one 2 years ago
mm-hmm.
from, one of my favorite astrologers who actually is a friend of mine now.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Angel Idealism.
Mm-hmm.
She is, New York's premier, punk rock astrologer, which I immediately was gravitating to. I'm like, who is this woman? I need to know her. She is fabulous. And we had probably one of the most intense 3-hour astrology readings that I've ever had. I've seen her a couple times since then,
mm-hmm.
but there were just specific things that had happened that she pinpointed, like
wow.
certain instances, actual things happened that year that she pulled out from that reading.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, there's something really to this. So
yeah, yeah.
I'm not to the point where I can pinpoint things like she did.
Yeah.
But yeah. I
how long has she been like, working with astrology? Do you know?
I think she's been doing it for like 30 years or so. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing it maybe like, you know, seven.
Yeah, but
you know?
Still it takes time. It takes time. It takes and you a learn lot of time, from yeah. other people reading for you. That's
completely.
That's really important. Interesting.
Yeah, I learned a lot from her, just being friends with her and stuff. But yeah, like that to me was like the moment where I'm like, all right, I really need to start taking this a little bit more seriously than I have.
Yeah.
And that's when I really started, like, I got like a bunch of astrology books. I got my first program to like read the charts and everything. Yeah. It's just, it set me on this ADHD, for example.
Yeah.
When you're interested in something, you don't stop.
You don't stop until you get it.
You hyper fixate on things.
Wow.
If you're not interested,
yeah.
Good luck getting any interest in it whatsoever.
That's
but
too bad.
When you are fixated on something, mm-hmm. you go for it. There's been many nights where I'm just like, I'm here reading until like 4 a.m, just like poring over charts and
before the magic leaves you
means and what that means. And you know, it's just kind of insane.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I mean, it's great.
You learn.
You do learn. And it's fascinating for me to see someone talk about something that I just don't care for, you know? And it, not that it wants me to go there, but it, you know, it makes me think again, oh, well, then I was wrong, you know? Someone loves astrology, you know? Listen, let me ask you a couple of things, because I read here a writer, and of course, that means you write, and I know that you write, a producer, an entrepreneur. The producer, what can you describe that for us? Or is that the in-between
podcast,
job?
For example.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now, so I was wondering in terms of other people's work. That's what I meant.
Yeah, no, I haven't ventured outside at that point yet, but what I do is I do produce our show, both audio and visual format. I edit, I direct, I write the script, and I you know,
that's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, I'm priming myself for my next job, which hopefully, you know, I just wait tables at this point right now, but I'm actively searching for production positions, like associate producer, things like that around the area. Obviously,
well,
I live in Hollywood,
that's what feel your next step is. I mean, you've got a lot of road to travel yet. I mean, lots. Boy, did you get some clarity or insight from that 3-hour reading with your friend?
Yes. I actually still have the recording, because I like to
go back
to it every once in a while and like listen to certain parts. It's like, yeah, that happened. Like
So you would agree that anybody literally can take up a tarot deck and use it, because you remember you said for guidance initially, you know?
Yes and no.
Okay, go ahead.
I feel like yes, anyone can read tarot if they were interested in it. However, I don't think they can just pick up any deck. Like, for example, I picked up the Rider-Waite. I said, this is Chinese to me. It might as well be, you know, I don't get it. Whereas I picked up, because I already had an interest in Aleister Crowley, I picked up his deck. Yeah. That spoke to me a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You know, I have... there's a tarot deck for everybody, basically.
Oh, there's so many all over the world.
So many different kinds, so much beautiful artwork and things. And, you know, I have several over here, but I mainly just use my Toth deck. Mm-hmm. But it's just a very, you just have to really know what it is that you want to look for when it comes to like getting a tarot deck.
Question.
Yeah, you have to have something that speaks to you.
Yeah, and it has to speak to you. Yeah. But so, no, in my question meant that anybody can pick it up and get some guidance. If they have a deck that speaks to them in some way, they'll get guidance. I want to say, though, is you say usually it's a three card spread. And I could remember, I could literally remember taking up a tarot, because I'd started reading I don't even want to say how many years ago, with Oracle, Italian Oracle cards, which are called the La Vera Sibilla, and I teach courses for those. And when I found a tarot deck that I loved, I was traveling between Rome and Tuscany, and I saw this deck under this table. It was so gorgeous. I thought, I have to get that, you know. So I got that, and I was in the train looking at them, and there was a friend of mine who had spent years studying the tarot. And I said, you know, I picked up a tarot card deck. You know, I was going home and they're fascinating. They're beautiful. She said to me, look, they are not toys. Don't think that you're just going to pick them up and start reading them. I think it's dangerous for you to do that. And I thought to myself, it's no longer a friend, but I thought that's an odd thing to say. That's an odd
Very
thing.
Very ominous. Yeah.
Really? I mean, come on. As if she had the tarot reading cornered, you know, or the market cornered.
Right.
It was funny. But I have to say
maybe she did, and she would lose clients that way.
Who knows?
But she you never start reading, I'm going to lose clients. So
no, she wasn't a professional reader. She had never read for clients, you know. And then I went on to do that. But what was interesting is the way they speak. They, you know, Oracle cards are chatty. You know, they talk. But yeah, the tarot come down with a message which is really forthright. They, you know, sometimes they could be playful depending on the deck that you have. But like you said, it's interesting to interact with Oracle cards too, to get some clarity, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's funny how cards don't mix. I don't know if you've ever heard of the deck, the Lenormand card deck. There are, well, mm-hmm. the jury's still out as to where they started from. There is this woman, Madame Lenormand from France. Instead, we find the initial decks in Germany with German writing. And so there are 36 cards, and I do a end of the year up, you know, future looking forward for the next year with a small grand tableau. Grand tableau would be all of the 36 cards, 9, 9, 9, and 9, and reading and, you know, mixing, I mean, long, very, very long. What's interesting about those cards is they're a bona fide Oracle card deck, but I can't put them next to, say, this other deck, La Vera Sibilla, because they don't like each other. They're snobs. Mm-hmm. They're snobs, you know. And it's funny because they, you know, don't come out. They will not speak. They will not play along. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah. I mean, I have certain cards that do work together pretty well. You know, I can't think specifically of any ones that I have. Oh, the Star Spinner. Those ones are really good. That's like the LGBT one that I have. Mm-hmm. So they actually have LGBT tarot cards. They're beautiful. Yeah. But
do you mix decks sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah. You know, if I want to do like a larger type reading, you know, mm-hmm. for example, I'll take two or three decks and then plus an Oracle deck or something, and just kind of like give like a broader, mm-hmm. it kind of paints a bigger picture. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I'm doing something simple, then I'll just do one deck, three cards, maybe a couple Oracle cards, just to kind of give just like a basic reading.
Yeah.
If I want to do something very in depth, yeah, I can mix cards.
So are in between jobs. You are thinking of moving somewhere else, going somewhere else to another job. So this is, you're on the move. I mean, this is a very good period for you, right? Isn't it? I mean, I would think that change is really positive, you know?
Yeah. I'm at this point currently, like I'm spending a lot of time at home.
Yeah.
I'm not like going out. I'm spending a lot of time like to myself, really with my thoughts and really kind of like getting back in touch with like myself and what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And so I'm tying up loose ends and actively seeking for my next step, because I've been waiting tables for like 6 years now. So
oh,
I'm kind of
yeah,
like
I know
over
what,
it.
I know what that's about. I lived
and
in
so
New York
I'm like,
a long
you know
time.
What? I'm ready for the next step. I want to really pursue this thing that I'm doing on the side full time. And so I think the next logical step is for me to actually start working in media, in, you know, production or broadcasting, whatever the case may be, but really kind of getting that expert knowledge under under my belt and and really trying to make something of myself.
Yeah,
you know?
Make something of yourself, but something that you like to do. I mean, something that's interesting for you. Well, one day I'm going to say, I know that boy. He was on my show. Demi, thank you so much.
I've been toying with the idea of making I've been writing a screenplay.
Oh, now we're getting down to the nitty gritty. Come on.
Yeah.
Just for fun. You don't do that just for fun. No, you don't. Screenplays are particular. They're not just a blog. Screenplays have a format. Right. And so, come on, tell us more.
Well, I just started. I've had several ideas for screenplays. Like, one was for a movie, one was for a TV show, but I feel like they're a little bit more further down the line. I wanted to start with something a little bit more kind of like simple. And so I started writing this thing called, I was listening to a podcast actually, and it was called 1949 Secrets or something like that. And I got this idea for kind of like a murder mystery, because I love true crime and stuff too.
Me too.
So I like a murder mystery type TV show that's revolving around this person's podcast who broadcasts secrets from people. You know what I mean?
This sounds great. You know,
yeah. So there's a little opportunity for comedy in there, but there's also opportunity for like really this kind of like darker turn as well. So I really like playing with that as well. So I've just started doing this. I'm still kind of like in the beginning stages of it. But it's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a guest on my show, and he's in the same Podmatch network that we are in. He has his own podcast. His name is Frank. Well, his name is Kevin, and he has a podcast called Frankly Kev. And he has his own, you know, that podcast is about people who are heroes. They've gone from this situation to another. And he has been an actor in the past, but now he's writing scripts. He's writing different. And, you know, it would be interesting for you to get in touch with him. If you look at Frankly Kev, I can't remember. Well, I'll give it to you when I look it up on my own things. But that is a very interesting person to contact, because he has a very interesting story. And he too, like you, went through all the stages, you know, the cancer, the homelessness, you know, the actor from the stars to the stalls, you know. So it's interesting. That's an interesting person. But I, you know, I think I will be saying, I know that guy. I know that guy. Thank you so much, really, Demi, for coming and taking the time to spend with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I love speaking with you. You're always such a bright spot in my day.
Oh, you sweetheart. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye, honey.